In Buddha's early teachings, he taught this many times, these four foundations of mindfulness, and some people in the Theravada tradition, I think many people would say this is the most important sutra that the Buddha ever taught, these four foundations of mindfulness. And in Zen, we don't emphasize the breaking down things into categories so much, so all four get kind of mushed together. But this would be a nice chance to kind of tease them apart and really look at these foundations or areas of mindfulness separately. And there's a Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutra in the early teachings, but we're not going to follow the sutra exactly. There's all these lists in the sutra. It would take too long. And over the centuries, there's been many creative interpretations, like the Tibetan Buddhist tradition also uses these four foundations of mindfulness, but interprets them a little bit differently than the early sutra. So we'll just touch on some aspects of them. Foundations is maybe could also be called areas, four areas of mindfulness. Way, four areas to direct mindfulness to. And mindfulness is a popular word these days in our culture. In Pali, sati, or Sanskrit, smriti. And mindfulness or awareness, I think we could translate it as, basic kind of awareness or presence. Four areas of presence, to bring presence to, is a way to look at mindfulness. And if it's just a general sense of awareness or presence, these four areas are, I feel like, kind of turning awareness into kind of like a, if awareness is just boundless light, then these areas of mindfulness are like kind of focusing this light into a kind of a beam and shining it on different areas of experience. So these four areas or foundations are body, feelings, mind, and dharma. Some would interpret the fourth as dharmas, like all phenomena, but we could also say dharma, like the truth, the Buddha's teaching of truth. So Buddha also taught these four foundations of mindfulness as the one vehicle, the ekayana, the one vehicle that is the path to liberation, freedom from suffering and discontent. And that if we take them all as a package, there's nothing else we really need in terms of practice. So, what a great thing. Everything's included here. And they also beautifully build on each other. So the way we'll do this day is I'll take the first two foundations or supports, and Shoho will take the third and the fourth. And hopefully you can see as we go along that we'll keep, it's not like they're four totally separate things. We'll keep kind of adding pieces in as we go. So without further ado, start going into them. The first foundation is mindfulness of body, or presence with body. And before I start this show, do you want to add anything to the overview?
One thing I want to add is that we really are hoping to speak from experience and also to your experience. And so there will be many of book references afterwards if you want. This, all of this can be explored and fashioned. But also just very practically, if you think in your experience there's some question coming up, and how do you do this question? We have a question section.
Yeah, kind of after. So we're thinking like kind of guided meditation. So we're already sitting in a comfortable posture, and then we'll just start talking, and as opposed to we're just getting information, we're actually doing the practice as the talking is going on. and hopefully we'll have enough time to stop talking and just sit silently with what we're talking about, but not very long, kind of like 10 minutes guided talking, 5 to 10 minutes maybe even silent, it's depending how it goes, and then another 5 to 10 minutes like discussion about that, of like, how is your experience with that particular practice?
So it's a half an hour for each.
For each, yeah.
There's a little bit of presentation, then the guided talking, and that kind of slides into each other.
Yeah.
And you ring a bell?
Yeah, so there won't be a bell to start because the talking will start the meditation.
So you can be just, you don't have to look at us, you just, you know, take it in and so forth. You can just absorb it, apply it to your experience right away. You can also let things pass by and just stay with your experience. That's the most important aspect, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and the bell will just end the so-called formal meditation part, and then we have discussion, and you could kind of relax your posture.
But even in the discussion, you can stay with your experience. Like, for mm-hmm. us, your experience is the most important. That's why we wanted to call it the one-day sitting. And also, if in your experience, you suddenly have a question, but there's all these other words going on, and it's not questioning time or whatever, you can feel free to write your question down, because, you know, whatever comes out of your experience, that's going to help you guide you, you know, take your questions just to your next meditation experiences later.
Yeah.
And they can, your own experience is guiding your workshop.
So mindfulness of body, and we have a lot of ideas about our body, thoughts about body, but this is really staying with the direct experience of body, which generally here means tactile sensation. We're getting into like physical sensation. So you might be able to like look at your body or hear your body, something, but here it's like the physical sensation, tactile sensation that is our dominant experience of body. Body and breath is an aspect of body. So to start with, we have the posture. So again, to emphasize comfortable, I think comfort and relaxation is kind of underrated in Zen. And we maybe kind of overrate the precision of a really perfect upright posture, which is, it's good to have an upright back and so on, but I think we're sitting for the whole morning here, so find a comfortable way to sit. Ideally, support your knees. You can put cushion if your knees don't go down to the cushion. You can get zafus from underneath too and kind of prop up knees a little bit. And change postures as the day goes on. You can also, our knees tend to come down a little bit more if we sit a little bit higher on a cushion. And then there's the kneeling benches and chairs, but some, you know, whatever's comfortable. And basically the upper body is virtually the same for any posture. We're just arranging our legs to be comfortable. And then the upper body is upright and free and open, so breathing can happen naturally and fully. These are just some basics. Our eyes can be half open and gazing down a little bit to keep from falling asleep. If you want to let your eyes close, it's okay too. And our tongue's on the roof of the mouth, our shoulders are relaxed, our head's upright, breathing through our nose in a relaxed way. And our hands, Zen style, as you probably know, is like around the abdomen, but on the knees is also okay. Whatever is comfortable. So we're already starting to come into the body more and out of our thinking mind of past and future and settling into the sensations of body and letting the breath slow down, which relaxes the body. And I think everyone here is already familiar with these basics of posture and breathing and bringing awareness or presence to the posture and the breath. So here I'd just like to add in something, a type of breathing and more particularities of breathing that you might not be used to, just to try out something that might be new. So once the body is settled, relaxed, the breathing is settling and relaxing, then particularly let the breath settle into the lower abdomen. When we're rushed or stressed, the breath tends to come into the upper chest. So it's kind of directing the breath downward through just attending to it. We're not trying to force anything, but bringing mindfulness or presence to breath and the subtle energy that's connected with the breath. We can just place our attention in the lower belly, and the breath seems to start to fill that area. This subtle energy we call prana or chi is closely connected with the breath. It's not exactly as coarse as the physical breath, but it moves along with the breath. So it moves along with the breath and the mind or the awareness. So by letting awareness settle into the lower abdomen, we can feel the breath energy fill that space more. It's very grounding and settling because this is the center of gravity of the body. And this particular type of breathing now that you can try out is, as the in-breath is coming in, it's as if your attention and awareness is moving down the front of the body, down to the lower abdomen, as the breath is coming in. So you're letting, it's almost like you're imagining a soft ball of breath energy and light moving down the front of the body and settling into the lower abdomen, and this soft cotton ball of light breath is a ball of relaxation. So if you imagine like this, it's like you're sweeping down the front of the body with this ball of relaxation, and as it moves down, it relaxes the whole front of the body. And it particularly then it settles in the lower abdomen, and all the muscles in that area start to relax. And fills the lower belly with this relaxed, soft ball of light relaxation. And a kind of, maybe even tingly kind of energy. So it's very alive and very relaxed. And the actual physical muscles are responding to this ball of relaxation. They start to relax this whole area, especially from the belly all the way down to the base of the spine. Letting the breath energy settle all the way down there, filling that with that area with a live relaxation. And as the breath exits, turns into an out-breath, that ball of energy can move up the back, up the spine, and relax the spine and feel it, this rising ball of light relaxation up the spine, all the way to the top of the head. At the end of the out-breath, it reaches the top of the head. Then the breath comes in again, down the front of the body, So circulating down the front and up the back. Down, coming down to the belly on the in-breath, filling the belly fully on the in-breath. Then as the breath comes out, it flows up the spine. You could also imagine it like a flowing river of soft relaxation. And one final detail you could add in here if you like is as the lower belly is filled with this relaxed light breath energy, you can just pause for just a moment at the end of the in-breath before the out-breath leaves. Just to fully bask in this relaxed energy in the belly. And to emphasize how there's no rush to breathe out. And you might find in that pause of non-breathing between the in-breath and the out-breath that there's even more relaxation tends to almost radiate out from the lower belly. while you're breathing, if there's notice any tension anywhere else in the body, if you just direct that beam of aware light to that area, it naturally can just relax. Notice your shoulders, muscles, and face muscles, if there's any tension. Bring presence to that area and let it relax. So it'd be nice to just go on like this for the rest of the morning. such a sweet way to settle with the body like this. So anything to report? Especially that type of breathing, if you've never tried that, how was that for you? Yes, Patrick. That's beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Did anybody have trouble relaxing there, or finding that it's hard to relax?
It's hard to relax.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that, right? Yeah, and I think there's really this type of practice. I think we just have to steep in it over and over, because sometimes it seems like we're doing something, right? We're doing this particular practice, and the very doing can sometimes create a kind of attention. So there's some dance with, we're intentionally doing something, but the intention is into this relaxed spaciousness. All right, coming for this half-day sitting? Yeah, come on in, and you can just find a cushion. Are there some more under the seats here? Are there any here? Still there you are. Although for talking.
Sorry about the interruption.
No problem. Welcome to the sitting. This is these four foundations of mindfulness, and we just did a little guided meditation on mindfulness of body and breath, which is an aspect of the body, and relaxing into the body and breath. Any other comments? Yes.
I don't know if you mentioned this and I just didn't hear it, but I noticed you talked about holding in breath, mm-hmm. and then I noticed how naturally when the out breath was fully out, just stayed with it out. Mm-hmm. And in that space mm-hmm. of having nothing happening, it felt like an invisibility, mm-hmm. just the emptiness and then the cycle of life begins again. Mm-hmm. In comes the breath again, the light in the belly. Mm-hmm. So that was...
Yeah, nice. So that's it. You can pause for a moment at the end of the out-breath as well as the end of the in-breath. And these pauses, even if they're just 1 second, I think for me, they have a very different, a feeling of like, yeah, that even deeper stillness, because nothing's moving for a moment. Whereas the breath is this constant motion. And a very unrushed feeling too, with this pause.
I like the image more of not a cotton ball, but of a ball of light and love coming in to our being and going down and resting at the root. Mm-hmm. And then I like the idea also then of breathing out, up, and over through the heart, through the head chakra, and then out the nose.
Yeah, or even keeping it like almost like a tide or a river moving around the whole body and letting this light breath energy kind of fill the whole body. Of course, our lungs are just this limited area, but this prana or chi or energy can actually fill the whole body connected with the breath. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But then, as you were saying, Nettie, resting when it's in and full and just enjoying the glow.
Yeah. Well, let's take a Kinhin walking break, and so maybe break isn't the right word, right? Let's try to keep mindfulness going. And we thought that each of these foundations is a particular area of mindfulness. So the Kinhin 10-minute period after, we can keep that practice going. Ideally, you can do slow walking meditation in here or outside. You can use the toilet. In the Mindfulness Sutra of the Buddha, in this mindfulness of body, the Buddha says, while urinating and defecating and eating and drinking and all these ordinary activities, so he mentions peeing, right? You practice mindfulness of body. Feel the flow of pee. Leaving your body and really can, really get into the physical sensations in while walking and moving about. So we can keep silence through this day, apart from our discussions in here. So second foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of feelings. So building on the first, mindfulness of body, continuing the same practice, finding a comfortable posture, upright spine, upright yet relaxed. So the upper body is upright, but the shoulders particularly are just hanging off the spine, the head's balanced on top, so we can sit for a longer time in a comfortable way. Our hands are on the knees or circling the abdomen, whatever's comfortable. Again, bringing our presence or awareness or mindfulness to the whole sensation of the body, the tactile sensation of the whole body, and particularly this aspect of the body we call the breath. Letting the breath naturally flow down the front of the body to the lower abdomen, pouring presence, relaxed light presence, pouring down the front of the body on the in-breath down to the lower belly and filling that whole area, letting all the muscles around the belly just relax, especially the base of the spine. And in our culture, if people seem to be uptight, we call them anal, which may be short for Freud's anal retentive, getting stuck in the anal retentive phase. And I think there's something to this, maybe a meditation hint in this, is that we hold a lot of tension and restriction around the base of the spine and all the muscles down there. So letting all these muscles really relax is so such a sweet feeling. Be it being in a safe place where we can just let the whole body relax, but especially this whole lower abdomen, base of the spine. And then on the out-breath, letting it, this wash of breath energy, roll up the spine to the top of the head, pause for a moment, and then the breath comes in again, pouring down the front of the body to the abdomen. Pause for just a moment between the in-breath and the out-breath, and just basking in the tingling presence of relaxed energy. So now this is mindfulness of body, which means mindfulness of tactile physical sensations. And now to add in this second foundation of mindfulness, the second area of awareness is what we call feeling. And the Buddha here is not referring to emotions, particular kind of complex emotions like sadness or happiness or anger. Those, of course, do have feeling, but we're particularly here focusing on these three types of feeling in this type of mindfulness. The Buddha says there's only three possibilities. They're called pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. So, of course, a complex emotion like sadness or anger has this feeling tone of pleasant or unpleasant. But that's particularly what we're focusing on. Just the raw, immediate quality of pleasant or unpleasant. And some would say that a neutral feeling doesn't actually exist. That if we feel that it's neutral, bring even more mindfulness and presence to it. And some would categorize neutral as slightly unpleasant, interestingly. It's a kind of a It's a kind of non-full presence. It may be a kind of a boredom or a kind of turning away, maybe, in what we might think of as a neutral feeling. Or it may be actually pleasant when we bring more mindfulness to it. So we're still keeping the mindfulness of body and breath, and there may have already been pleasant and unpleasant feelings there, but we were just attending to just the physical sensation. Now there's a quality that we're looking at in addition to just the physical sensation called pleasant or unpleasant. And I think it's significant that the Buddha made a whole category of this pleasant or unpleasant feelings as a aspect of mindfulness or an area of mindfulness, because it's such a dominant part of our life. We're constantly pushed around by pleasant or unpleasant feelings without even noticing it much of the time. So in this foundation of mindfulness, we're just being aware and present with pleasant or unpleasant without adding the next step, which we usually unconsciously do. Usually when there's an unpleasant sensation, we wish it would go away. We try to avoid it. We try to do something to change it. And if there's a pleasant sensation, we often wish that it would keep going or increase. Some kind of manipulation besides just experiencing it. So in this type of mindfulness, we're trying to notice that gap before we try to avert from a unpleasant feeling or grasp a pleasant feeling or try to increase a pleasant feeling. We're just directly experiencing this very simple, pure experience called pleasant feeling or unpleasant. Along with keeping the breath going, relaxation. And these feelings might be located somewhere in the body. And that you might have a pleasant sensation in the belly at the same time you have an unpleasant feeling in the shoulder. That's okay. You can notice how it's possible to have some area of experience be pleasant and at the same time another area is unpleasant. And as far as physical feelings of pleasant and unpleasant, it seems to me that usually the unpleasant ones go along with a sense of contraction, like muscular tension. And pleasant feelings in the body usually go along with relaxed, uncontracted muscular areas. Maybe not always. This you can explore. Might be an area of tension that we would call unpleasant, and then you bring awareness there and it relaxes and it shifts from unpleasant to pleasant. And sometimes the Buddha would distinguish between physical and mental feelings of pleasant and unpleasant. But as I explore this, it seems that it's hard to distinguish, because a physical unpleasant has a mental quality to it. And a mental feeling of unpleasant, like just the feeling of sadness, the unpleasantness and sadness, usually has a physical component too. We feel it in the body. So So you can explore if there's some emotion, like frustration or restlessness, usually has an unpleasant quality. See how that's also, there's a physicality that goes with it. It registers in the body. So as well as separating the feeling from the reaction of grasping or rejecting, we can also separate the physical and or mental feeling from the more like the storyline that's connected with it. With an emotion like sadness or frustration, there's almost always a narrative story that's fueling the unpleasant feeling, and to kind of separate those out, tease them apart, just staying with the actual feeling of unpleasant. And we might find that if we separate those, that the fuel for the unpleasant feeling is no longer able to keep it going. So it was unpleasant, starts to change into neutral or pleasant. And noticing the constant arising and ceasing and changing, shifting of these feelings of pleasant and unpleasant. Even if there's some area of tension that feels ongoingly unpleasant, even that has different texture and different types of unpleasant. Notice how in the direct experience of pleasant and unpleasant feelings and a kind of curiosity about them develops, and it becomes more and more mysterious what pleasant and unpleasant actually are. We might wonder, why is it that this muscular tension that I immediately and effortlessly label it as unpleasant? And I think there's no answer to that. Don't try to figure this out. Just notice how it's very mysterious why our most deepest aspects of body and mind automatically assume that certain feelings are pleasant and certain other ones are unpleasant. And in the direct experience of them, we might even find that an unpleasant sensation, unpleasant feeling, without doing anything about it, without it changing at all, it can shift into what we might call pleasant. Nothing's changed except our immediate take on it being unpleasant gets kind of loosened up in this kind of mindfulness. There's no type of feeling that's inherently unpleasant or pleasant. So this type of mindfulness alone is, can be very liberating from discontent by just not adding aversion or grasping to our feelings, just directly experiencing them. We could have a very unpleasant feeling and not call it suffering, not call it discontent, not call it a problem that we have to get rid of. There's freedom right in the midst of the discontent. It's just what's happening. I should say, there's freedom in the midst of the unpleasant without it being discontent. Anything you notice new in this kind of practice? Yeah.
Thank you. So I became aware of the kind of chronic area of tension in my back and how quickly I wanted to fix it, which I'm sure I've done thousands of times and doesn't work. So it was interesting just to see that. And then as I just got curious about it, the pleasantness of the open mind and the curiosity sort of took over, and I was able just to be curious and explore what that alive sensation was.
That's a great example how these things are not fixed; they're constantly shifting, and this type of mindfulness points that out very nicely.
It's really that being more connected with the openness of the mind.
Yeah.
You know, the shift to the experience.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe it's even that mindfulness of feeling tends to create more pleasant feelings.
Yeah.
Nice, like, byproduct, of, like, side effect of the meditation. Yes.
I noticed I kept experiencing almost a non-sensation or a dullness.
Neutral feeling.
I was curious if it was neutral or unpleasant. Mm. In a way that I was finding myself being more or less spacious and less mindful through the dullness. Mm. And so bringing awareness to that was tricky.
Yeah, for sure. I think dullness is an interesting one that maybe we often do consider like a neutral sensation, but maybe as meditators, if we start to get into the feeling of dullness, for myself, I would feel like it's a little bit unpleasant because I actually like the feeling of alert presence more. So, but maybe as non-meditators, we're often looking for dullness. We think of that as relaxation. Maybe in our culture, we're so kind of stressed and high speed beings that we just want to zone out and like be half asleep in front of the TV or something. It's not very mindful, but it might be we might consider it as pleasant relative to our rest of our life, which is another thing I noticed in this meditation, that pleasant and unpleasant are very relative. So if you're in like a lot of chronic pain or something ongoing, that a little bit of relief from that is still, from a certain standard, would be called unpleasant, but relative to the norm, it's suddenly pleasant. So if we're used to really pleasant meditation, then we might feel like, actually this feels really good and relaxed, but my standard for pleasant is so high that I still am calling it unpleasant. These things are quite relative. Yes.
I had this thought, this observation of kind of with the breathing, the in and hold, like stop, mm-hmm. stop, in, stop, and that kind of saw this correlation with the pleasant, neutral, unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be mm-hmm. that when that breathing is pleasant. Not breathing is kind of unpleasant.
Nice.
And so when it's stopped, it's kind of like bordering from like pleasant to like pleasant, neutral, unpleasant, neutral, pleasant, and then pleasant again. So I kind of saw this.
Yeah. And I think for someone else, it might be the other way. Like when Nettie was talking about that pause, might be like a pause of total bliss before we have to start moving again into the breath. So I think it totally depends.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, eclipsing to like, there's the pleasant, and then maybe if you hold for too long,
you've
done pleasant on the horizon there.
Yeah. Well, let's do a Kinhin break, and now again we can bring mindfulness, body and breath, and you know, in Zen walking meditation, we synchronize the feet with the breath, so it's a very nice way to practice mindfulness of breathing. It's designed for going with the walking, and mindfulness of peeing and pooping and so on, and now I can bring this second aspect into this walking meditation period and feel like, is it pleasant or unpleasant to walk and stand and pee or drink? Feel that, the feeling quality to it.
So we are up to the third foundation. And there is many presentations of the third and the fourth foundation of how they're being thought about and divided. I'm leaning on the presentation of my teacher Tsoknyu Rinpoche, but we can also point you to other presentations that are really worthwhile exploring, like Rodney Smith has a great one, and so forth. So the third foundation, then I want to think of as mind objects, as thoughts, versus the four foundations is going to be talked about and considered more as awareness, as a non-dual awareness. And as meditators, all of us have probably struggled and redefined our relationship to our thoughts over the years. We can define them right now in coming forward from what we just contemplated in the feeling. Feeling has been the pleasant, painful, and neutral. And so the thoughts that we are looking at now are kind of like the extension of those feelings. It's like being any story of aversion. It's any story of desire, wanting more pleasure, so forth. Or any in-between stories. If it comes to thoughts, I think, you know, as meditators, they can be so multi-layered. But thoughts of rejecting, grasping, and neutrality may be another good way to break them down. Leaning away, leaning towards, those kind of movements. Today, for our meditation, for your contemplation while I'm talking, I'd like to invite you to consider your thoughts to be the natural movement of your mind. Like as breath was a natural movement of your body, thoughts are the natural movement of your mind. Like as you might have experienced just sitting a little bit in silence, a thought will come up. Just naturally, just what the mind does. There's nothing wrong about it. That we have a mind, we are embodied beings. We have bodily sensations. We have feelings, pleasant, painful, and neutral ones, changing all the time. And now we have our reactions to it, our natural flow to it, coming in the mind, through the mind, with the mind, very naturally. Thoughts just show up. The key point of meditation is non-distractedness. So how, in the midst of a mind that has a natural flow of thoughts, what does non-distractedness mean? What is non-distractedness? Right now, in the context of the third foundation, non-distractedness is to see everything as a thought. Whatever appears in your mind is just a thought. And with being that, with seeing your thoughts, comes the spaciousness that is aware of your thoughts. One way to enhance that awareness, the gateway to broadening that awareness, is loving kindness. So try when you sit now. Try to really see your thoughts as a natural movement of your mind. And each time you notice believing it, each time you notice you're losing your awareness of it, just try out smiling. Try smiling to yourself. Try feeling having a warm heart towards yourself for having a thought. Feel deep warmth within yourself. For this mind that has thoughts, whatever it is, it's all a thought. Feel the warm spaciousness that holds and beholds thinking. Like a doorman at a hotel, gently greeting the guest, but not following the guest at all. Just greeting and passing by. Friendly welcoming a thought, smiling at yourself. That's a natural movement of your mind right here. Being non-distracted about the fact that you have a mind that has thoughts. It's also like a parent, this awareness of our thoughts. We allow our thoughts to be what they are. To label them good or bad, it's just adding thoughts. Just like a parent, we know our thoughts to be what they are. And we smile at them. We give space to them. And if I get too wild, we set boundaries. All with a loving intent, the compassionate intent of knowing the power of thoughts. They're making us, they're making the quality of our life. So we gotta respect them. And we give them space, respectful space. And boundaries. Just like a parent, a loving parent. And if you think there's an identity to the one observing your thoughts, that's also a thought. If you think the parent is more real, that's a thought. If you think the parent doesn't exist, that's another thought. Our mind is a crown of purification. Our mind is empty of any thought. They come and go. Just smile at them. time for comments, questions.
Be and just frame, put a gentle fence around, but let that person be, so, and grow into their own. So that was really a lot of space.
Yeah, I've always thinking like about that parenting too. And I'm glad that you said that and reminded us and reminded me of that, because you know, it's like silly to, you know, get too wrapped up in and I don't know, like becoming angry with a child for just being a kid, you know. And it's helpful for me to think about that, you know, with my mind and my thoughts, you know. So that it expresses nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question. I know that it says, do you differentiate objects of mind from thoughts? And my question is related to this and the foundations of mindfulness, and I know in there's a gatha in the Diamond Sutra where Subhuti's being told that objects of mind are not separate or cut off from reality. Mm-hmm. And so, how does that relate to disciplining my mind? Mm-hmm. Because often I have a myriad of words and images that just constantly.
Anybody else having that experience of constant images and thoughts coming up? Yeah. So that's the natural flow. And sometimes that flow is like, you know, like I think a river is, or a creek is a good analogy, you know, if there's a lot of things that haven't been seen, you know, substantial things that really want to be seen, then that's like where more rocks are in the creek, where the water becomes more turbulent, right? Versus if, you know, things have been released, the tension has been released, then the water can flow more even, you know. So in that way, or if there's more wind, the water is more rippled, and if there's, so it's a lot, sometimes the conditions. So that's why we come into a place where it's mostly quiet to help set some conditions to our mind. Then if then we can look at the content, if the thoughts keep being like really wild, you know, is there a pattern to the content? Like, and again, it's like, that's where, like, sometimes we just need to look for a little bit of space around something that is very dominant. And if we need to see what's the space, because once we have a little space, we can disidentify and loosen the grip of it. But most of the time, I experience myself a lot being really engulfed in a story and taking it so real that my whole body is living that story, then I'm not having a space around, and I'm not aware. And there's place for that. We need that. Like if you're in traffic, we need to be engulfed in the story. So that's why we train on the cushion to get to find space. How does it relate to you? Is there something more?
Yeah,
Am I relating to your experience? How would you describe your relationship to your thoughts and images?
I don't feel there is one. It's just like come up constantly. Mm-hmm. It's like sometimes you'll see an image of a person in your head, and then it's like there they are. They just come around the corner and they're like, oh hey. Or you'll see food. That's often because I'm hungry, or if I'll hear one word of like a phrase or a passage from some sutra, but then something else that's kind of contradictory against that, and then everything feels very jumbled and scrambled, and then it's like, what did God either go off of?
I relate. First, the mind has very fascinating features like precognition and certain clarities that can surprise us, and they're very fascinating. And then sometimes the mind has qualities that are very confusing and jumbled, like you said, where it's like feeling like standing in the middle of a forest, like, and just not knowing where to go. And it's still the same mind. It's still being in these different situations is still the same. It's our mind. It's our mental experience, mental emotional field. So it's a vast field in which all of this takes place. The clarity and the confusion, they're all happening in this vast space of our own mental experience, mental emotional body. That's where this labeling of our thoughts, this is a thought, to be able to see, to learn to see the qualities, to be able to be like, this thought is very light feeling, this thought feels very heavy, but they're both thoughts. That helps us to get a little more space from the grip of, I don't want these thoughts and I want these thoughts, or, you know, whatever relationship we have around them when they show up. Like labeling our thoughts is one way to step back to, like, I'm looking at a screen of my mind. And sitting down, physically sitting down, coming to quiet places is another way of, like, just stepping back more and more from the engagement that sometimes we don't know. Does this relate? And then again, also loving kindness of, like, we all experience this. This is everybody's experience for a wide range of mental events. Everybody. And it's very powerful. In fact, most things in this world happen because we are trapped and entangled in our thoughts. So it's very powerful. So learning to step back, become quiet with it, and giving space to it are one of the first steps. And you have been doing those. And then slowly, slowly, like smiling at ourselves over and over. Yeah. This is joyful, this is painful. This is confusing, this is enlightening. Over and over, letting it go. As such, as just what it is, a mental event, mental emotional event. And if that's what we can help each other also as community, is some thoughts are most easily let go of if we speak them out to somebody else. So if you can share them with others, that's also a great way to help get the space to look at them. Because somebody else had, you know, most of the thoughts help in our privacy of our mind. But very persistent ones, you know, we like to share. And sharing, we should like to share for the reason of finding a space with somebody else. Getting somebody, some other person's reaction to our own thinking really helps to again, step back, be able to say, oh yeah, this was just a thought. Sometimes we can't do it alone. Sometimes we need somebody else to help us do that. Have another short break, and I will ring the bell for the fourth foundation. Try to keep your awareness on either your body, your feelings, or your thoughts. First and third foundation, we looked at forms, form of body or form of mind, mind objects. In the second, we already explored qualities. And here we're also looking at qualities, quality of mind. And because this is actually quite subtle, I want us to first do an exercise that Kukyu has been doing here before, but I think is very effective.
Three rounds, I want us to explore our awareness.
The awareness is, right now in dualistic terms, is the container of all the objects of our awareness. And one way to be more aware of this container is to first the exercises like this. We shake our body and head and everything on the seat. And then on one, two, three, we drop and relax. Some of you have done it before. So you can join in right when I'm doing it.
And go inside. One. And three, you call it. Two. And you can do some outside side, you have a chopping. Three. Four.
Naturally, maybe the thought came up, what am I supposed to look at right now? What is this to be different than before? So you might have noticed a gap of having an activity, letting the energy rush through your body, and then letting it all go. And there might have been a gap of some sort. Adding words in it, I'll leave up to you, because that's what we want to explore now, is this open spaciousness that we can, could call container, just for lack of a better word right now, the awareness in which all of this happens. So we want to look for a spacious quality. And that's why I do this again, this exercise.
Take your breath, everything. Take your breath. Two. Three.
Before you do it a third time, I want to just have you explore already the little spacious quality you might have experienced. First of all, the movement and everything probably helped stir up some energy, and personally I felt some sense of aliveness, some sense of being unburdened, having just dropped. The thought and the breath, a little bit of ease and openness. And yet you might have experienced how soon after the dropping thoughts, just, what is this? What is this all about? Questioning, kind of stirring, came back in. And yet one big distinction you might can also explore is effortlessness, the quality of openness and effortlessness. Something you might already have experienced when we explored just being aware of thoughts, that just being aware of them doesn't take as much effort as following them. Because if your child just plays in front of you, you don't need to do anything. Just be aware and love it. So having shaken up a little bit before we do a third round, I give you some minutes to just explore. Any taste of open, quality of effortless awareness that you might have experienced during our day today. If you think you haven't and you want to look for it, then be aware of your looking and drop it. Drop your looking for anything. Extend a spacious awareness into the room. Fear the walls, the ceiling. Feel yourself in this big space of this room. Outward. Vast. Beyond the walls, there's more space of sky, ocean. You're in the middle of this. You're not limited to any walls. You can extend outward. Vast, spacious awareness. Now you turn it inward, an inward space, the vastness extending inward, penetrating your body. There's no core, all your organs, everything is hollow. Air and food and water passing through many hollow tubes. Deep, spacious, even the bones are hollow. Your mind's spaciousness is beholding all this vast outer and inner space. Now rest the looking of it. Just behold. Even that, just watch any effort that wants to creep in. Just be aware, let it be. Whatever moves in your experience. Allowed. It's all okay. Vast spaciousness. Outward and inward. No looking. Let's approach this one more time through our exercise. anything. This innate, open, spacious quality of our mind cannot be covered or stained eternally. It's just temporarily thoughts, feelings, and emotions can come up within it. It allows it all. There is a complete acceptance. The whole life, a whole identity, a lot of stories can merge, can come and go. The wild dance of our experience. Can come through and dance with this awareness. It's not tainted by it. Not changed by it. Effortless, unfabricated, it's your true nature that's present within everybody and everything. And it didn't change at all right now. But it allows questions and comments and observations.
Well, I think the end of it was, it wasn't
I made the openness and quiet. So I really connected with that term, unfabricated.
Yeah, I invite you to explore this exercise for yourself. I find that, you know how we are really trained to understand our experience in contrast, like, you know, hot from cold, and, you know, stillness from sound and so forth. And here with this exercise, we're also still playing with duality in a way of accelerating activity and then stopping it. But it's this jarring movement that allows, and we have those actually throughout the day, like sneezing is part of it. You know, there are various incidences in our experience that can also keep triggering us into a break of our identification with our mind, and step into this awareness of the objects, but even further into the qualities of this awareness, which is, you know, which is way vaster than any dualistic sense of object and subject, of course. So it's what the fourth foundation is looking at and playing with is, one, the mindfulness that we established in the first three, this wanting to be mindful of an object, this is an exploration of letting this mindfulness dissolve, letting effort dissolve, letting the tension dissolve. We're close to the ocean, and we have a beautiful sky. We can take a lot also the sky and the ocean as a support of really meditating on the spaciousness and letting that penetrate us, being aware again of the outer spaciousness and taking that inside, being aware of our inner spaciousness, and then be aware of our effort to look for, you know, like all these mindfulnesses, like Kokyo was saying, is this beam. You're having this beam of being aware of an object, and you're training in being undistracted from this object in order to strengthen our ability of mental power, so to speak, that which then in the fourth foundation is being dropped, like into that effort, that somewhat dualistic effort is being dropped. And then in Buddhism, we celebrate this a non-dual awareness. And because it's so important, I invite Kokyo to add something, if you want.
Yeah, actually, like, as these first three foundations of mindfulness, like, is a beam of light, it's like a, it's a, the spacious light of awareness is being narrowed into a beam, and it's like, you could say, dropping the beam, or you could say, the beam of light just like gets wider and wider until it's just like it's not a beam anymore. It's just directionless, undirected light permeating, which it always is from the start. But when we take it and narrow it into a beam, then we sometimes lose touch with the all-encompassing nature of it. And it struck me when we do that, dropping like that, it's like, it is like a big space, but it's not like nothing's happening in that space. What I notice is, first thing right away, is like there's these sounds of the cars driving through the space, and sounds of birds in the space, and it's like, it's a very full space in which, like you said, everything is allowed to happen in that space. Mm-hmm. It's not like a void blackness.
When you just said like directionlessness, the light image, and I just thought of the sun and like in shining in every direction, but no direction in particular, just all of them. So it's like all directions, that direction.
And this is like where there's not even the sun is a particular location, it's radiating and all that, but when we just look at the clear blue sky filled with sun, we don't even see some source from where it's coming from.
Right.
It's just light is permeating everywhere and there's no particular source.
I also invite you to keep playing with the development of loving kindness and compassion that we that I mentioned in the third foundation, because that enhances the allowance. Because most of the time, what our objects of awareness are is like a certain tension, right? It's like a certain questioning or doubt, you know, subtle forms of tension that just pull us back into storylines. So I find that having compassion and having warmth enhances this prospect of allowance, so of letting things be and letting things happen. Because we are so order-oriented that we want certain orders to see around us, you know, to feel safe or to feel understood and so forth. So if it's out of our order, we're immediately, like, agitated, right? So the explorer, that's where it's exactly the exploring of the stories and getting most familiar with that smoothes and relaxes this tendency of jumping for attention. You know, we are animals in many ways. We have a natural instincts, and being most familiar and having a loving kindness and loving affectionate relationship to ourselves and then therefore to others really helps more and more open this container of awareness. And yes, as Lakoki was saying, we always have it. It's kind of a setup to say, you know, strive for this awareness, you know, just like make efforts to, you know, become concentrated. That's where like Buddhism is playing with this tension of provisional and definitive, or of gradual and sudden. I feel we all are having the opportunity to have sudden glimpses of this open, spacious awareness, and yet training ourselves and being aware of objects, that concentration will suit us later, be able to maintain this effortless state. So it goes hand in hand. Gradual and sudden go hand in hand. Any last questions or comments? So we invite you to bring this exploration into your meditation and the rest of your day. And we wanted to close with doing the Koki Wana Leaders in the Refuges. Yeah.
If you don't know these three refuges in Guru Dhamma Sangha in Pali, with the memory, you can just follow along, chanting, dedicating any positive energy gathered from our sitting together today to the spacious openness and relaxation of all beings everywhere.
Sanam Gacchami Namam Sanam Gacchami.